The last time I spoke 3 months ago, I shared concerning a very, very personal struggle that I was dealing with, and I just kind of bared my soul that day about this thing that I just had dealt with for a long, long time. And I was looking for an answer. I was looking for some deliverance. And as I shared, I know the Lord put it on Mariah's heart for the answer to what it was that I needed. See, I kept hitting my head on the handlebars of my bike that was hanging from the ceiling in my garage, and Mariah spoke these words, "Move the bike." So after church, I went home, I moved the bike, and for 3 months, I have been free. Free. Let's give the Lord a hand for that. Yes, free. Well, that's a little bit silly, but really, I did move the handlebars, and I haven't hit my head, so praise God anyway. But what the message was about 3 months ago was about repentance. About repentance and kind of defining that, giving you some food for thought, hopefully, concerning the concept, the very core concept in Christianity, the whole idea of repentance, which means literally to change your thinking. That's what it means, to change your thinking. But then something happens as a result of that. Something happens as a result of that. And that's what I want to talk about today. What happens? What should happen as a result of repentance? But before I get to that, I was out in Mexico this week with a camera, just kind of wanting to get in touch with some of the local folk, asking some questions. Doing a little bit of canvassing throughout the community. And the results are in this little film clip we're going to watch right now. Okay, we're out here at the park today looking for interesting people to talk to. And here's a little girl that looks very interesting. What's your name, little girl?
Maya.
Maya. Wow, Maya, that's sure a pretty name. Do you like playing out here at the park?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, let me ask you a question, Maya.
Uh-huh.
Do you know Miley Cyrus?
No.
Okay. Do you know Lady Gaga?
No.
Let me see. Do you know Katy Perry?
No.
Okay. Do you know Justin Bieber?
No.
Oh, wow. Okay. How about Jesus? Do you know Jesus?
Yeah.
You do?
Huh.
What about Jesus? Tell me about Jesus.
He creates everybody in the sand and in the water.
Oh, really? What did Jesus do? Did he do anything special?
He created us for our sins.
He saved us from our sins? Wow, how did he do that?
Because he loves us.
Oh, really? He loves us, huh? Do you love him?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you love him. Do you love your mommy?
Yeah.
I see. Do you love your daddy?
Yeah.
Do you love Jesus?
Yeah.
Do you love Justin Bieber?
No.
Okay, well, thank you so much. We'll talk to you later, okay?
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We're just wandering around this beautiful park here tonight, just looking for some interesting people to talk to. You never know who you might meet as you wander through Mexico and the wonderful park system we have here. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. This looks like a group of four typical teenagers. I wonder if they'd mind if I asked them some questions.
Hello.
Excuse me. Hello there.
young typical teenagers. You mind if I ask you some questions? Excuse me. What? I think maybe I've encountered a group of deaf typical teenagers.
No, Matt, we're trying to communicate. See,
you're trying to what? Communicate? Well, I don't hear anything.
Oh yeah, her phone just went off. You didn't hear that?
So old, man.
It beeps, and you send
a text. Mine just vibrated.
And you have to respond.
And you have to respond immediately, or else people will go crazy.
It just feels wrong.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh man. Well, I'm sorry to interrupt, but really, I'm just out here tonight asking some typical teenagers some questions, and I kind of like to have your attention. So could you mind if I ask you some questions?
Honestly.
Yeah.
Kind of busy right now.
Well, I'd really like to ask some questions. Let me just ask. Could I ask you to put your phones down for a second?
What?
Like right now, or?
Yeah, like now.
Are could you serious? Seriously?
Yeah. Could you put your phone down? Do you mind? Do you mind just putting your phone down?
I'm trying.
Well, yeah. Just put it down. Put it down. That's it. That's okay. That's okay. It'll be okay.
But someone's typing.
Well, that's okay.
But
that's
then
okay.
They're gonna push send.
Well, I know. We'll just wait. Let's just be patient. Okay. I just want to ask a couple of questions. Let me ask. Typical young teenage girl. Could I ask what your name is?
Shelly.
Oh, that sounds like a typical young teenage girl name. Could you tell me what you know about Miley Cyrus?
Miley Cyrus, she does really weird stuff in her videos.
Oh, really?
Yes, and she has a problem with her hair right now.
She has a problem with her hair?
Yes.
Oh, her hair's not as lovely as yours, I guess, right?
I don't know about that. I just know she needs to grow it out and dye it brown again. And
oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so you know about her. Do you listen to her music?
I used to.
Really?
A really, really long time ago.
Oh, really? A long time ago?
Uh-huh.
Like how long?
Like a year ago, like last year.
A year ago,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah, it was at least last year.
Oh, okay.
Forever
All right.
ago.
All right. Well,
yeah,
Not anymore? You don't listen to her anymore?
No.
Okay.
On.
All right. Well, that's interesting. Let me ask you, young man, about Katy Perry.
Katy Perry. Yeah, I think I know who Katy Perry is.
Do you?
I think so.
Really?
I've seen some crazy videos of her.
Oh yeah?
She's kind of cute.
Well, she's kind of cute, huh?
That's where I got my inspiration.
Oh yeah, right on.
Okay, all right. How about you? Do you know Katy Perry?
Well, duh. Who doesn't? Oh, she has some great videos, and she has awesome hair, like you always mentioned.
Oh yeah.
Oh, she's my role model. Like, I tried to do pink, but it just flushed me out totally, and it just looked awful. I looked like a marshmallow.
I see. Okay, well. But you like her music, though, right?
Oh, definitely. And did you see her other video? I put it on Facebook and got like 1,000 likes. It was my best yet. I'm
wow.
working on it, too.
Yeah. Well, that's...
It was great.
That's, how special is that? Let me ask you, typical young teenage boy.
Talking to me?
Can you tell me what about Johnny Football?
What a cool-ass name. I mean... What a coincidence that his parents' name is football, and then he plays football and he wins the Heisman Trophy. What are the odds of that happening?
That isn't that incredible?
And yeah. If he had been Johnny Baseball, he probably couldn't play football.
Whoa!
I hadn't thought of that.
That's
deep.
I'm thinking right now.
Yeah, that's deep.
I'm clicking.
Wow. Yeah. Well. Amazing. Just one other one. I'll ask you, sir, over there. What about Justin Bieber?
Yeah, man, I like the Biebs.
Oh, yeah, you like the Biebs, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where do you think he got his hairstyle from, huh?
Oh, really?
That's right. He stole mine. My idea.
When I was just a kid, there was a TV show called Leave It to Beaver. Huh? Get it?
Is that the same guy?
What?
No, I'm just... Oh.
How old are you, man?
We don't talk about that, okay? All right. Anyway, just one other person I want to ask you typical young teenagers about here tonight. I know you probably heard them, so I know you'll know the answer to the question. Tell me what you know about Jesus. You know,
I think he plays shortstop for the Cardinals, right?
No, I think back in high school when I was taking history, he was one of the presidents. I think he's one of the first five or six presidents, I think. That's
oh, Jesus was one of the presidents. Oh, I got it. Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was from my history class I had in high school.
Oh, okay.
Last year.
Oh, all right.
That's what my mom starts yelling when she's really mad. Jesus!
Oh, boy. Okay, well, that's not quite what I had in mind. You know, there's a lot of people that think that he's the most important person that's ever lived in all of history.
And we don't know who he is.
He's not my
Well, father. That's... Maybe nobody's ever told you about him. He's actually the Son of God.
The what?
The Son of God. God's only Son.
Oh, you mean that little baby? Mm-hmm.
The baby, yeah.
The baby?
Okay. Christmas.
Like Santa Claus's baby.
Yeah, girl. You're totally reading my mind.
Santa Claus's kid?
Yeah. Baby Jesus.
You know, on Christmas, they give everybody gifts.
Yeah.
And he gives
there.
Us everybody
yeah.
gifts.
Yeah, and he's friends with all the elves, probably. He probably knows all those elves.
I think you might... That may not be an accurate answer.
No, because remember the manger? It had the reindeer by the manger?
Uh-huh.
Wasn't he born in a manger with reindeer?
Born in the manger with the reindeer.
Right, uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
And the star,
sure.
The North Star.
Pretty sure about that, yeah.
The North Star,
that,
yeah.
We follow that to Santa?
Yeah.
Oh. I got it. Yeah, okay. Well, you guys, I think there's North some star? There's some Something things like that. That you guys need to understand a little bit, but...
Maybe
this may not be the time to talk to you about it. I know.
Check it on his phone.
He can Google it. I don't
it.
Have that.
Yeah.
I don't.
You're gonna Google it.
So I hate my life right now. All I have is this dumb. Can't believe your mom won't let you get in my
phone. Well, thank you so much, young typical teenage boys and girls. I'll let you get back to the really important stuff. Okay, so you can pick up your phones again and. Communicate to your heart's content.
Thanks, man.
Okay. Good night.
Let me say something to the teenagers here today, right now. Do you understand what satire is? You know what satire is? If you don't, you can look that up. You can Google it on your phone or something. But, yeah. I'm not sure quite what the point was of all of that, but maybe it'll become clear as we get into the message. As I said, the last time I spoke, I talked about repentance, and that repentance means that we have a change in the way that we think. A change in the way that we think, but as a result of that, changing the way we think, we also change the way we live. We change our behavior. We change how we look at life. Everything changes when we repent. And today I want to concentrate on what those things are that happen. We're going to be talking about the fruit of repentance. In Luke chapter 3, verse 8, in your notes it says, "Prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God." Prove by the way that you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. That was John the Baptist that said that. Jesus said a couple of different things. He said many things. regarding repentance, but a couple here. Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Luke 6:45. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. Acts 26:20, the Apostle Paul, I preach first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and throughout all of Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that all must repent of their sins and turn to God, and prove that they have changed by the good things they do. So we see three pretty important people in Scripture here. John the Baptist, of course, Jesus, our Messiah. And we see Paul the Apostle talking about that when we have repented, when we have taken an assessment of where we are, what we're doing, what it is that we're experiencing in our life, and we make a decision to change our thinking, then from that comes different behavior. Good things come as a result of that. Jesus, when he's talking about a good person, he's talking about a person that has a good God residing within them. Okay, because there's no one good, just as Jay talked about this morning. There's no one good. No, not one of us are good in and of ourselves, but only through the residence of Jesus Christ in our heart, then, can any good come. And so there should be some evidence in our lives of repentance. There should be something that we could look at, something in our behavior that would testify that we have repented, that our life has changed. We saw little Maya on the screen there earlier. She lived all of about 3 years so far. Not a lot has happened to her. But I thought it was, and I did not coach her, okay? I asked her who Justin Bieber and Miley Cyrus and all these people, she didn't know them. She didn't know who they were. But when I asked her who Jesus was, she knew. She knew. Now, how did she know that? I would say that that's part of the fruit of the repentance of their mom and her dad. You can look at the fruit in a little child that knows who Jesus is and say that they probably got that knowledge from their parents. Okay? That's part of the fruit. You know, Pastor Ron preaches and has said many, many, many times here about how our Christian walk is like an escalator. That the escalator is coming down. And as we're walking our walk in this life, it's like we're trying to go up a downward moving escalator. It's a brilliant, brilliant analogy. And it's true. It's true because there is forces that are out there that are trying to prevent us from making any headway in this life, from making any lasting impact for the kingdom of God in this life. Things that are happening. But as I got to be thinking about that analogy, I just maybe went a little bit farther with it. And I began to think, you know, we're always on the escalator. We're born on that escalator. And if you're fortunate enough to have been born into a Christian home, then your parents have carried you part of the distance up on that ride toward the top. And so let's just say that escalator represents all of Christian history. Okay? And for me, there was a time that I was facing down and riding down on that escalator, looking down. The escalator was taking me down. Okay? But as I was riding down, I met somebody that was walking up. And during that brief time that we shared on that escalator, they shared Jesus with me. And I turned around and began to walk up. And so I got married, met a woman that was also walking up. We had kids. We carried those kids with us as we were walking up. And they went with us. And we talked to them about Jesus. And we talked to them about the Word of God and what it meant to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were with us. But there came a time when we had to quit carrying them, and we had to start holding their hand, and then gradually let go. And a funny thing began to happen once we kind of let them kind of walk for themselves. They began to kind of drift down. Because, see, they were more or less living on our faith for a long period of time. They were living on what Mom and Dad believed, and they went with Mom and Dad to church, and they stayed with us. But there came a time where they kind of had to figure it out for themselves. And so when that time came, they started to move downward a little bit. But through influences, godly influences in their life, through people that taught them in Sunday school and in children's church, and as they encountered others that had already, in their peer group, had already started to move upward, they figured it out, and so then they turned around. And they're headed in the same direction. Now, I know. That there are young people that are here today, and a lot of this message is going to hit you right square between the eyes. Because your parents have kind of let you go, kind of let you, not just abandon you, kind of said, here, you know, dropped you off in downtown St. Louis and said, see you later. They didn't do that. But they've let you go, and they're allowing you to kind of figure it out. And sadly, I can see some of you drifting down. But there's going to be a time when you're really going to have to decide. Because there's going to be people from my daughter in the youth group, people from kids that you go to school with. There's going to be others that will have influence on your life that's going to tell you the truth about Jesus and what he's done in your life, and you're going to have to decide, am I going to keep going down, or am I going to turn around and start walking up? You're all going to have to come to that decision. And that turning around, that process that you're going to go through, when you begin to think, you know, I thought if I just got good grades, I thought if I just had a boyfriend, I thought if I just had a girlfriend, I thought if I was all state, I thought if I started on the football team, I thought this, I thought that, then life would be grand, life would be great, I'd have it all. But you're finding out, and you will find out, that stuff's not going to take you anywhere. It's going to leave you wanting, and you're going to have to decide. Are you going to keep drifting downward? are you going to turn around? We're going to look at a story here that's recounted in three of the Gospels. It's in Mark chapter 2, it's in Luke chapter 5, and Matthew chapter 9. And what I've done here, I've kind of combined all of them because each gospel kind of highlights a different aspect of this story. And so I've kind of combined it all into one telling of this story. It's about the story of the paralytic. That's how it's referenced in my Bible. When I get to that place, it says a paralytic is healed, or Jesus heals a paralytic. That's what it may be in your Bible. When you get to that place, it says that. Let's read this together. It says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum. Now, Capernaum is on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. That's where it's located. Okay? It's on the north shore of the city of the Sea of Galilee. It says, the people heard he had come home. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but when we think of Jesus coming home, we probably think coming to Nazareth. He's called Jesus of Nazareth. Okay, but his ministry headquarters was Capernaum. Okay, that's where a lot of the ministry started. That's where Peter lived. He lived in Capernaum. The people heard he had come home. So many people gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. He preached the word to them. Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and from Jerusalem were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was there for him to heal the sick. That's an interesting phrase right there, isn't it? That would have been brought out, that the power of the Lord was there for him to heal the sick. Some four men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house and lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered him on the mat through the tiles in the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. Now, can you kind of get a load of that? I mean, we've read that story probably, many of us have read it dozens, if not hundreds of times about this story. But could you imagine that being your house? Could you imagine, let's just say everybody that's here was at your house. I mean, if you all were at my house, there wouldn't be any room for anybody else. And if somebody wanted to come in, it might be pretty difficult to get in. Might be pretty hard. Just thinking that maybe, you know, we're sitting around in the living room and then all of a sudden I hear this noise up on the roof. What's going on? And pretty soon I see some guy's head sticking through into my living room from on top of the roof. You know, I don't know whose house this is, but, you know, they probably weren't too happy about that. So at any rate, they let this guy down right in the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking these evil things? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven? Or to say, get up, take your mat and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Immediately, he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed. And isn't that about the understatement of the year? Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God, who had given such authority to men. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." And isn't that true? Isn't that true? And as we're talking about repentance. We're talking about repentance. And so we're reading this story, and you might be wondering, well, I don't hear anything really about repentance in this story. Well, let's just think about that paralytic for a moment, shall we? Here's a guy who was paralyzed, completely paralyzed. He had to depend on at least these four guys and maybe others to take care of him. Couldn't take care of himself. Maybe had difficulty feeding himself. Maybe had difficulty bathing himself, more than likely. Difficulty doing virtually anything for himself. He needed a lot of help. And he lived there in Capernaum. Okay? And these four guys, probably friends of his, maybe relatives of his. We don't know. We know very little about the paralytic, really. You know, they're ministering to him, taking care of him every day. But pretty soon they hear about Jesus. You know, there had been several miracles that had taken place prior to this. He had healed a leper. He had turned water into wine at Cana. Several things had happened. Jesus was starting to get some attention. And so he comes back, Jesus comes back to Capernaum. And these people are saying, "Hey, you know, just talking to the leopard, we'll call, or to the paralytic, we'll call him Leo. I don't know, just the name. We'll call him Leo. Guess what? Jesus of Nazareth is coming back to town. He's here. He's right over there at Peter's house, and he's teaching right now." Maybe we should take you over there. Maybe something will happen. Who knows? You know, he had lived for who knows how long as a paralytic. Maybe he'd gotten comfortable in that condition. Maybe he thought, well, this is the rest of my life. This is the way it's going to be. I may as well just make the best of it. But Jesus, when he saw him, there was something that he said that kind of triggers this thought. He said he saw their faith. There had to have been a moment when the paralytic says, "You know what? I'm tired of this. I'm tired of depending on all you guys. You're great guys. You really helped me out, but I'm tired of this." He began to rethink his situation, kind of began to rethink the way things were. And he says, "Okay, take me to Jesus. Take me to Jesus." And there is a thing in the Jewish culture, still is a thing in the Jewish culture, that one of the big reasons that they think that people have whatever affliction it is that they have is because of their sins. Not just their sins, but maybe the sins of their father and their grandparents, you know, handed down from generation to generation to generation, the sin. And so there is a big thing in the Jewish culture that says the reason you're this way is because of your sins, because of what you've done, or maybe not because of what you've done, but because of what your parents did is the way that you're that way. At any rate, the paralytic, Leo, says, "Take me to Jesus." And they get to the house, and it's like, we can't even get in there. There's no way in. You know, and, well, I'm sorry, we can't get you in. You know, there's no way we can get you to Jesus. And doesn't like the, look like the meeting's going to break up anytime soon. There was a determination there. He says, I don't care what you have to do. I don't care how you get me there. Get me to Jesus. So they climb up on the roof. They tear through the tiles on the roof. Whatever it was, whatever they had to do to get through to where they could look down and see Jesus. And they lowered him down into the midst of this crowd. Let's just say he's coming right through the roof here. Right down, right in front of Jesus. I mean, it kind of was kind of a breakup in the meeting, I would say. It was kind of just a kind of a big interruption, you might say, that occurred right then. And so, and this to me is just phenomenal. What happens next? Jesus looks at this guy, and he came wanting healing. No, there's no question about that. But Jesus looks at him, and it says that he had compassion on him. He says, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Now, if you're a Jew, and it says there are Pharisees there, if you're one of those guys, your understanding of how sins get forgiven is that, well, wait a minute. What? There's only one way to forgive sins. We have to sacrifice something. We have to get a bull. We have to get a lamb. We have to take it to Jerusalem on the Day of Atonement. And then we have to wait in line all day long with our bull, with our lamb. We have to wait all day there until it's our turn. Then they take it, they kill it, they sprinkle its blood all over. That's how we get forgiven. That has to happen. That's how sin was dealt with. And Jesus just says, your sins are forgiven? To a group of Jewish people, that just does not compute. And so they say, who is this fellow? They really didn't know who he was. That blasphemes. Because no one can forgive sins but God alone. Well, they were right about that. But to them, Jesus did not equal God. But the truth is, Jesus equals God. He had every authority, and every gospel says, so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Every gospel says those same words. I say to you, take up your mat and go home. Jesus had the power to forgive sins. And then they begin to murmur, all of that kind of stuff. And then he says, take up your mat and go home. The guy got up. The guy picked up his mat, began praising God, and left. Everybody, you got to just imagine what that crowd must have been like. Talk about a roller coaster experience. But we read that story so much of the time, and what we concentrate on, what we seem to focus on, is the fact that the paralytic was healed. And it's right to do that. There's no problem with doing that. But the first thing that came out of Jesus' mouth was, your sins are forgiven. And as I read that, it was as if the Lord was saying to me, to show the change in a person's life when their sins are forgiven, to demonstrate what it looks like when your sins are forgiven, it's like taken a person who's paralyzed and allowing them to walk again. What a dramatic change in that man's destiny. And that's how it is for us. When we come to Jesus and we've looked at our lives and we've analyzed where we are, what we've been doing, what we've been involved in, what we've allowed ourselves to do, there it is. I could have just fallen down right there. What we've allowed ourselves to do. And we come to Jesus and we say, forgive me, Lord. And he does. And he does. And it's gone. And our life is changed. We're not the same. Completely different. It's as if it's as if we can walk again. It's as if we can live the life that he's designed for us to live. When we're forgiven. And that's what I believe the Lord wants to say to us today. You know, a lot of us deal with a lot of different things. We deal with family issues. We deal with health issues. We deal with financial issues. We deal with our own sin. And we'd love for God to just kind of move his hand over all of it and just say, it's over. I can promise you unequivocally, he will do that with your sin. He will do that with your sin. It's left up to us to look and decide that we're going to turn around. We're tired of where this escalator has taken us, the only view we have of what's down there, and it's not good. I want a new perspective. I want a new way of looking things. I'm going to turn around and begin looking up. That's what he wants. So today, as I said, I know that this message probably has hit some of you right square, right between the eyes. Because you know that you're just drifting down. Just drifting down. For a long, long period of time, if you're a young person in here, you've had a hold of your mom and your dad's faith, and you've been riding with them, but then you've kind of started to assert your independence. You've started to begin to think, well, I just want to do things my way. I just want to live my own life. You can't tell me what to do anymore. And a lot of that is, you know, that they really can't. You know, they might forcibly be able to make you do some things. That's never pleasant. But for the most part, you have to decide what you're going to do and which way you're going to face. So I'd like us all to just stand right now, if we could. And like Steve and Joel and Randy, Jennifer, Madonna, Billy Sue, You know, as I said, there was a time when I encountered somebody coming up as I was going down. And they shared the truth with me. And I analyzed where I was, and I decided to turn around. This is one of those times. This is one of those times in your life if you've been drifting down. You've been exposed to a message here today that if the Holy Spirit is working on you, you can decide to turn around. The power of God is here to heal your heart. Complete forgiveness. Complete forgiveness. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you've said. It doesn't matter. Jesus forgives. Period. And you can turn around. That's the greatest message there is. That is the greatest message. Not that what I said. That's the message of that is a great message that you can turn around. And if that's you here today, come on up. Come on up. And pray with one of these godly men and women who can just lead you to that place and agree with you that you're taking a new step here today. That you're tired of going down. You're turning around. You're going up. We'll allow you to do that right now. Or if you want prayer for any reason, healing, whatever it is, come on up. Jesus' presence here is right now to make a difference.